News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. I'm Steve Evans. In June of this year, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear the case concerning the Uinta Basin Railway Project. Despite securing the permits, environmental lawsuits led to the project's halt. The case before the Supreme Court has significance not only for the Uinta Basin Railway, but will likely affect the future of transportation infrastructure and rail shipping in the entire country. Immediately after the announcement, Duchesne County Commissioner Greg Miles, who is also the co-chair of the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, which incidentally is the managing entity responsible for the project, stated that this case offers to resolve critical legal questions regarding the scope of the National Environmental Policy Act review. Proponents of the railway assert the Surface Transportation Board has thoroughly and properly considered all proximate environmental impacts of the project. So what does the future hold for the Uinta Basin project? Why did the High Court agree to hear the case? And what will the likely arguments be for and against? Here to answer some of these questions and more is Uinta County Deputy Attorney John Sturmer. John, what has your involvement in the project been so far?
Twofold. So I am in the county attorney's office and serve as chief deputy in that position. I'm also legal counsel, local legal counsel for Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, which is the applicant and the proponent of the railway project. Okay. So I kind of wear two hats.
And you've been through this from the beginning.
Very, very early on. I helped SCIC out when they were looking at sage grouse issues and right-of-way issues down in Carbon County. Okay. And that was years ago. So I've been in the process.
So from a legal perspective, you have a pretty good eye and are up to date on what's happening.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Okay. All right. Why do you think, John Sturmer, the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case?
I can tell you what our thoughts are. Our thoughts are that the Supreme Court laid down some pretty good precedent about 20 years ago. It's called the Public Citizen case, and it analyzed the scope of NEPA analysis, the National Environmental Policy Act, and the D.C. Court of Appeals has not followed that precedent, and so our opinion is that the Supreme Court has taken this case to right the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals.
So the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals didn't follow the Supreme Court precedent?
No. No, they cited it and went a different direction.
So, interesting. Yeah. So they're trying to overrule the Supreme Court.
They do that, and the Ninth Circuit does that as well. Those two circuits, unfortunately, have litigation in most of the NEPA cases across the country. So this is a pretty important case to be able to have the Supreme Court take it.
When do you think the Supreme Court will likely hear the case?
We're scheduled. The exact date has not been set, but we're anticipating it'll either be the first or second week of December. Briefing is going on right now.
How long before you anticipate a ruling?
Unless something really weird comes up, they issue all of their decisions before the end of their term, which is June of next year, June of 2025.
John, just to refresh our minds as to what the main points that the D.C. Circuit Court ruled on in their ruling. What were some of the highlights of their ruling?
Yeah, it's very voluminous court ruling. So the highlights
just
would be,
to summarize.
Yeah, it's about the upstream and downstream environmental effects that you have to take in consideration.
So it wasn't just the scope of the 88 miles.
No, far, far past the 88 miles. As far as going down and trying to evaluate carbon emissions down in the Gulf Coast, trying to evaluate future unpermitted projects that may happen in the basin, anywhere in the basin. As you know, the basin is about as big as the state of Maryland. So they want us to analyze future projects that aren't even on the books yet of what may happen if extraction were to occur.
So as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, if they wanted to have a NEPA process on all of the rail, wherever this product would be transported between here and the Gulf?
What's even more concerning, Steve, is not that they wanted it to happen. They didn't agree with the scope that STB set forth. STB even looked down south, down into the Gulf, and said, okay, that is so far removed, both geographically and project-based from what we're doing. So we're not going to analyze that. Plus, our models can't even analyze it. So not only did the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals say you should look at it, SDB did look at it, found it unreasonable to go down that rabbit hole, and the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals said, no, you need to jump full into that rabbit hole and give us an answer.
So what precedent, if this ruling were to stand, what precedent do you think this would make, and who would be affected by that precedent?
Well, because the D.C. Court of Appeals, Circuit Court of Appeals, hears most NEPA cases in the country, it will have, and it currently is having, a very negative effect on all infrastructure projects, even green energy projects, windmills and solar panel plants, and all of that is being affected by the D.C. Circuit Court right now.
So if this ruling stands, how would this affect interstate rail transportation of other products like coal or natural gas? Or
On current lines, probably nothing, because they're already permitted, right? I mean, okay. there's our oil is going right through Eagle County, Colorado right now.
I understand that, yes. So, and can they stop that?
No, they'd have to shut down a already permitted railway.
So the only thing this is doing is clearing up that truck traffic on Highway 191 through Indian Canyon.
Well, that would be one of the benefits. I actually still think there probably would be truck traffic. Now, remember, all of that is based off of market controls, right?
Right.
It's all price structures.
Right.
So you introduce a little bit of competition in on it, and if people can get their price points in a certain way that makes it more attractive to a user rather than their competitor, then they win the business, right? That's just good capitalism right there. So I don't really want to dive into like how much it would actually impact. It's anticipated in the environmental analysis that yes, truck traffic would be reduced, but again, it all comes down to price points.
Right. Okay.
The key, if I can though, the key is from my office's perspective, not just getting product out. We're looking at what can come into the basin because we have a railway. All the raw goods where we could get manufacturing plants, we can get all of this stuff into our economy would be a game changer for employees and everybody.
Isn't that one of our major problems with economic development and growth here, industrial growth here in the Uinta Basin, is transportation?
We are, for transportation purposes, for other purposes, I love that we're isolated, right? Quality of life and everything
right.
else. But for transportation purposes, we are one of the most isolated places in the continental United States, because we have two-lane highways, right, with a few passing lanes.
What would this ruling mean for other infrastructure projects?
Again, for us in the basin, we think it would be crucial. We think it helps on the precedent of permitting more quickly. There were acts of Congress regarding, if people want to look up the Builder Act, that's a new act, a couple years old, from Congress that puts limits on NEPA as far as how many pages the document can be, how long they have to issue their decision. All that stuff is important so that there's stability in the review process. NEPA doesn't drive decisions, it informs decisions. That's all NEPA is supposed to do. It's not a decision-making statute, it's an informative statute. And the problem is the way that it's been litigated is it's steering towards the outcome of the decision rather than did the decision makers have the proper information to then make their whatever reasonable decision they want to make.
John Sturmer, how would this affect the Gulf Coast states? I understand there's been a number of states filed friend of the court briefs.
Yes, so
with the Supreme Court. Explain, what is a friend
okay,
of the court?
Okay, so yeah, brief. A friend of the court.
What is brief? The Latin term for it?
Amicus. It's an amicus brief.
Amicus brief. Okay.
Amicus curiae, and then the plural of that is amici.
Amici, and that means friend.
Word. Yeah, it's just friend of the court.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So under the Supreme Court rules, they're able to receive what's called these friend of the court briefs, and our deadline for those who were in favor of our position was last week. Those filings did come in, and it was massive. Speaking directly to the point you were making with our states, 25 of the 50 states of the union filed an amicus brief in support of our position.
Half
the nation said, "Hear this case."
Who filed a brief, a friend of the court brief, opposing it?
We won't know that. Their deadline isn't until about the end of October.
Okay.
So we don't know yet. We know Colorado has been getting a little loud on this. We fully anticipate that they'll probably support Eagle County, which is Eagle County is just crazy. But
who filed the lawsuit in the beginning?
Eagle County and the Center for Biological Diversity.
So an extreme environmental group.
Center for Biological Diversity is, yes.
And Eagle County, Colorado.
Colorado wants to stop an 88-mile rail project fully within the state of Utah. It would be like this, Steve, if Utah, which we do infrastructure projects on I-15 all the time, right? We build additional lanes, we extend lanes, we do all this stuff, and it's to get people around and about and through the state of Utah.
Safely.
If we were to do this project, I anticipate I-15 is going to be expanded with the Olympics coming in, right? In 10 years. Yeah. They're going to do a big interstate project. Whole other subject, but they did last time in 2020 or 2002, sorry, and fully anticipate they will here. It would be as if Nevada said, Utah, you can't do that infrastructure project in Salt Lake County because it will more efficiently move traffic through your state, which could impact us. And in fact, it might even impact Los Angeles. So go analyze the impacts in Los Angeles for you doing your interstate project in Utah.
What about interstate travel? Aren't there Supreme Court rulings about interstate transportation that this violates, this ruling?
Tangentially, it does. It's not at issue in this case.
Where you have one state controlling interstate travel?
Yeah. They're saying just the project. They're actually not trying to regulate the Union Pacific Rail Line. Because once we hit the rail line, interstate commerce takes over, right?
They just want the project.
They just want it killed.
But they also want to go farther, and that is to destroy the oil and gas exploration business in Uinta Basin.
They're saying that the chance that you could have increased production in the basin, you have to analyze that for the railway. Completely ignoring the fact that any new play that comes online in the Uinta Basin has its own environmental review.
Right.
And so they're wanting to do it now before even new projects are even announced. We have to analyze something that we don't even know is going to happen.
So that would discourage producers from even coming. Yeah,
tremendously.
Yeah.
Plus, it's just stupid. Oh, did I say that?
What are some of the likely arguments that attorneys for the project will make before the Supreme Court? What do you think advocates for this will argue in front of the Supreme Court? What are some of the rulings?
Yeah, great question. I mean, the good thing is it's all public record now. If somebody actually wants to read the opening brief, they can go to the Supreme Court, look up the 7-county infrastructure case, and the opening brief is right there, so people can read it. The highlights are that NEPA needs to be reined back in. You can't have this never-ending hamster wheel that you spin on and you never know when it's good to get off. The rule of reason needs to come into play when agencies make their decision. If it's a reasonable decision, then it needs to be able to move forward, not have all this second guessing from courts. And also what we're asking for is a reinstatement of the permits. The DC Circuit Court ripped that from us. They were issued by the Surface Transportation Board. DC Circuit Court of Appeals ripped those away from us, and so we want reinstatement.
Okay. And we want the precedent that was already set by the Supreme Court established.
That would be awesome. Just for complete clarity, for my client, we want to build the railway. If we get really good Supreme Court precedent in addition to that, great. That's going to be awesome. But we really just need to be able to build the railway.
Now, this Supreme Court ruled against the Chevron ruling. What was that about? What is the Chevron ruling?
Good question. So changing gears just a little bit, it does deal with agency review. It's a little different than NEPA review, but it does deal with
kind of like pulling back the power that some of these agencies have, governmental agencies have over the American public.
In its most simplest terms, the Chevron doctrine was if an agency, because of their expertise, because they do it all the time,
right?
Think of like ocean fisheries, and that's what was an issue in this case. because they're in this world all the time, they should be given deference to their decision. So the scale tips in their favor on the decisions they made. This court said, no, they're not any more expert than any other experts that may come into court and explain their point of view. So that's what the Chevron doctrine was, and that's what the new court decision said. No, we're taking away that deference of the executive agencies.
So in a sense, it did pull back the power these agencies have over the American public, over business. How will that affect the Uinta Basin? Over regulation, over
yeah. So it would deal with if there are certain regulations. For example, when you're dealing with sage grouse management plans, right? Uh-huh. That deference is pulled back, and now it's based on in courts. You should have a battle of the experts, and then the person who has the most reasonable position, the most fact-based position, should prevail. Not an agency that has the scales weighted in their favor. If they made the right decision, they should be able to prove it, right? They prove that they made the right decision, that the other people were wrong, and away we go. That's how it should be. And this luckily the Supreme Court agreed with that.
How do you think the Supreme Court's going to rule? This is just an opinion.
Yeah. Nobody else is listening.
Who's going to win the football game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, my personal opinion, with a little legal sprinkled in there, is I don't think the Supreme Court would have taken this case if all they were going to do is keep the status quo. They only take about 1% of all cases that are petitioned up to them. Now, and we got one of those slots. So I really don't think they're just going to come in and do a half-baked job.
But this Supreme Court, what are there, 8 justices?
There's 9.
9. Okay. So we'll probably have 5 to 4.
It depends. So the public citizen case that the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals is refusing to follow, I believe that was a unanimous decision, the public citizen case. So the D.C. Circuit Court is saying we're not following a unanimous decision.
Yeah, but we have three real extreme liberal justices.
We did 20 years ago, too, though.
We did?
Mm-hmm. So I think there is a chance that it's not just going to be the math, the 6-3 math right now. Okay. I think you could actually get some of those other votes.
How did the Chevron ruling? What was the vote count on that? How did that?
Oh, I'm gonna have to claim ignorance on that.
5-4. Something
it like it that. Stayed. If you want to say there's party lines in the Supreme Court, which we kind of know there are, but it stayed along party lines.
How has governmental overreach and overregulation affected the economy here in the Uinta Basin, John Sturmer?
We see it everywhere.
How has it affected the economy?
It stifles it. I mean, anytime you have to spend another year and a half, 2 years to try and get any project, even to a no decision, right? I mean, even if the decision, let's say it's just some harebrained decision out there and it's going to cause all kinds of problems, to not get to a no decision in a timely manner stifles people, right? Because it's locking up resources, locking up personnel, it's locking up land that could be put towards another use, another project. So anytime you can't get to a decision point in a timely manner, it's problematic, right? I mean, even in our own families, if parents can't make a decision quickly, the kids go nuts. That's just what happens.
And yeah, they make their own rules at that
point. Yeah, exactly. They start making their own rules, and then the whole house burned.
There are some who have been in contact with the BLM to have the Ashley Springs property conveyed back to the BLM. Now, the BLM owned the property at Ashley Springs. That was deeded over to the county. Why is that a bad idea to have that go back to the BLM?
Well, my personal opinion and professional opinion is local decisions are always better than national distant decisions. So being able to have those 790 acres or so be with Uinta County and be able to make those decisions locally, I think it creates a better product. Any day of the week, anytime we can have a local decision, it's better.
John Sturmer, for as long as I've known you, you have been fighting for state and local control of our public lands. to have more control. For example, public land access, the RS-2477 road issue. I think one of the first times I was in your office, you had great big maps all over your office where you were trying to mark, get people to come in and testify as to them using that road so that we could keep it open, because the federal Yes. government was wanting to close a good percentage of our public lands here to public access.
Probably up to 1,000 miles of roads they were wanting to close in Uinta County.
So you've been an advocate for fighting for local and state control. I you've had the public behind you 100%. It just floors me to think that someone would want to see any property turned back to the BLM. I think we should be asking for more to be turned over to cities and counties.
We should. I mean, they're so personally. I grew up as a young kid back in the Midwest. I remember.
Oh, you did? I thought you grew up.
I went to high school up in Wyoming.
Okay.
And those are your formative years, right? So that kind of shaped who I am, and my view of public lands and outdoor recreation and extraction and all that stuff. And of course has evolved over the years as I've become an adult. But I remember as a young kid growing up in the Midwest, where about the only public land you had where you didn't have to go ask somebody permission or pay somebody for permission to be able to use the land were small little state parks scattered randomly across the state of Illinois and elsewhere. And I remember how frustrating that was to even try and go bluegill fishing. I mean, it was completely frustrating as a young kid. Then switch that to when my family moved to Wyoming, and now that we've settled here in the basin, I can drive, what, two minutes, get out of town,
yeah,
and go do anything legal you want. As far as, I mean, you can hunt, fish, four wheel, shoot, rock hound. I mean, you have the ability to just go recreate. I hope people appreciate how amazing that is, because in a vast part of our country, you can't do that. So access to public lands is very important. Whether that public land is 20 acres or if it's the national forest, right? 1.whatever million acres, being able to have that reasonable public access to public lands is very important. And it's been a bedrock thing that the county attorney's office has fought for as long as I know. And it was before I even came here in 2011.
Environmental groups like SUA and the Biological Diversity. What was the name of that group?
Center for Biological Diversity.
Okay, they would like to close out all of our access to public lands.
Right now, they're pushing in the travel management plan process to, like I said, close probably more than 1,000 miles of road in Uinta County.
Okay.
And we're fighting really hard to make sure that access stays open.
So why is it a bad idea to turn this back to the BLM? Do you think government agencies like the BLM, the Forest Service, are following that standard of closing roads and access, or do they want public access?
Sometimes it depends on the administration, right? And sometimes it there's a lot of factors in that. But just saying that public access, just a footprint in the dirt, a person wetting a fly in a stream, or you know, whatever it is, somebody picking up a rock and taking it home because it's a pretty rock. Just saying that is detrimental to the integrity of the land and even the aesthetic value of the land is absurd. And I have fought against that viewpoint for my whole career. I've been an attorney for 17 years, and for all but six months of that career has been fighting against that mentality, the what if, the maybes, the parade of horribles, the world's going to burn because something might happen. We take reasonable steps to mitigate reasonable anticipated effects, and we move on.
As Uinta County Deputy Attorney, you were involved heavily in the transfer of the BLM property to the county. What is the Dingell Act, and did you write it?
The parts that refer to Uinta County, yes. The Dingell Act itself is like 1,100 pages long. It's a big act,
okay,
all across the whole country. But there are certain sections that deal with Uinta County.
Have you ever written an 1,100 page document?
The road litigation that you talked about was even bigger. It was a box of paper. A ream of paper has 500 pages in it, right? This was a box of paper. That's our RS-2477 case. The largest document that I've ever had a part in writing and filing with the court.
All right.
The Dingell Act, yeah, small potatoes compared to that one. but for Uinta County, yes. I was the primary author of everything in there.
All right.
Related to Uinta County.
So Ashley Springs Protection Zone? Did you write
that? That was an ordinance that was passed before the Dingell Act, and yes, I was the primary author on that as well.
Does Uinta County care about the preservation and protecting our water source in Ashley Springs?
I think we have to say yes, right? I mean,
well, I don't know. I'm asking you the question.
Yes.
How so?
We passed an Ashley Springs Protection Zone. We advocated for the transfer of the property around Ashley Springs to come to the county, and there's limited things that can be done on that property. So all that's well documented, and Uinta County is committed to making sure that the water is protected and the public have the right to see and enjoy that property. It's not mutually exclusive.
Can a balance be met there?
Absolutely. Balances are met on water quality everywhere. So why not here?
Just asking a question.
I think we should. I think it's our obligation to make sure that it is. And, you know, Uinta County has received a security plan from Ashley Valley Water and Vernal City, and we've committed that we would implement that plan.
So you requested a plan from Ashley Valley Water and Sewer?
Yes.
And you received it?
Yes.
Well, we're getting off tangent a little bit. We kind of segued into government control and overreach and into this. So in closing, what are your feelings about our Uinta County Railway? I have a steak dinner with a family member that this project is going to be completed and constructed, and I don't want to pay that bet. What's going to happen?
My opinion is that it will happen. I said earlier that 1% of the cases are even taken up by the Supreme Court. Ours was one of them. At the briefing stage, maybe you get 6 to 10 people, organizations that file one of those friend of the court briefs. We had 19 that if you add all the parties that signed on to those 19 briefs, you're up to about 45 different national entities. Half the states in our union filed in support
of it.
This is a big case. And the national significance of it can't be understated.
Okay.
Or overstated. Can't be overstated.
Overstated.
There we go.
John Sturmer, Deputy County Attorney for Uinta County. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for answering our questions.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
I'm Steve Evans, and this is News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Thank you for joining us.